I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Hey, guys! So, the Tony nominations just came out, and one of the funniest shows of the season, Lend Me a Tenor, was nominated for Best Revival of a Play. I saw the show when I was in New York, and it was hands down the best show that I saw that week. The moment the lights went down to one of the craziest curtain calls I've ever seen, I never stopped laughing. Lend Me a Tenor does not disappoint. And what a coincidence! Today I'm talking with one of the stars of the show, Mary Catherine Garrison. She's incredibly talented, and has such a great story on how she got her first Broadway role working with Nathan Lane. Now, whether you want to work in theater or not, this interview is priceless on how she got her start, and her experience working with such a talented cast, including Tony Shalhoub, Justin Bartha, Anthony LaPaglia, and Tony nominee Jan Maxwell.
So, as the curtain comes up, you're the very first person we see on the stage. What was that feeling like on opening night?
Well, you know, like every time I start a new show, I think this is my last chance to run away and never be heard from or seen again. So I had that feeling, like I always do. But it's also, I mean, it's neat to, I'm trying to think of how many shows I've actually, when I've been on stage when they start. And it kind of feels like an honor, but it also just feels like it's a lot of pressure, you know, to get the ball rolling and make sure your energy is up there where it needs to be, especially for something like this.
The cast is obviously amazing. What's like to get a chance to run around and have fun with them night after night?
Oh, my God, it's so stimulating. This is one of the best jobs I've ever had, hands down, because everybody's so good at their job and so creative, and they sort of never stop working. Like, just the other night, for example, I mean, Tony Shalhoub, he's a maniac, and he works on his bits. He's still working on stuff. Like, when he's not on stage, he's backstage running through things, trying to figure out certain jokes. And just the other night, I was backstage with Justin and Tony, and I'd lost some laughs that I had had since the beginning. And we talked about it, and we were whispering, and we kind of re-practiced, like, different little versions of what it could be. We figured it out, and I got it back. So it's sort of, everybody's so generous, and there's no crazy egos in this cast. It's just really stimulating and fun, and I just feel really, really lucky to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And everybody says stuff like that, but I actually really mean it.
You're not lying.
No, it's true.
And Justin Bartha, this is his first Broadway show, and it looks like he's been doing this for years, too.
That's what I've been saying. You would never know this was his supposed debut. I mean, he did do plays in high school, but obviously that was a few years ago. He just has blown me away. I love being on stage with him. I love watching him. I love watching him and Tony. I literally stand backstage and watch some of their scenes every single night. I just think they're so delicious together. Mm-hmm. And he's game. He's a pleasure.
So do they change, like, especially somebody like Tony, does he change his bits up just on a whim, you know?
Well, you kind of can't because, you know, the one thing about something like this, a physical comedy or a farce, is that the precision with which you have to execute a lot, especially the physical stuff, it's like, it's very scientific. It's like, you know, like throughout the rehearsal process, this has a lot to do with Stanley, too, who I think is some bizarre master of comedy. Like, we figured out three knocks is funnier than five sometimes, or, you know, if you reach out with your left arm, it works. It makes the joke work. Whereas with your right arm, kills it. I mean, it's stuff that you can't really explain, but obviously it's fascinating. But he will, if Tony feels like there's a joke, there's something funny to be had in a scene somewhere, he will keep digging until he finds it.
Yeah.
And he's so weird. He can make things funny that probably shouldn't be any other actor that wouldn't be funny. But he's just so, something about his manner is just so hysterical.
Yeah. Well, the show is probably like a marathon, you know, every night. And like you said, everything has to be perfectly executed. You got to be exhausted by the end of the night.
Yeah, especially that crazy curtain call.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious, yeah.
I know. I feel like I've gone to the gym at 11 o'clock. It's so weird. It's exhausting, but it's especially exhausting for, you know, Justin gets very little time off stage. So I think it's for he and Tony, it's especially marathon-like. But I'm really tired. I'm really, really tired.
So how was it working with Stanley? I mean, he's a brilliant actor himself.
Well, he's I'm trying to think if I've ever worked with him, another actor as a director before. I don't know that I have, but he, first of all, he's very sympathetic because he's also an actor and he knows what it's like to be up there. But because he's an actor first, he sort of gets inside it himself, and then we worked on it. Unlike with other directors, I really feel like we all worked on it together. He was as much of the, well, let's figure this part out process as any of the actors would be. So anything that we did, and everybody says this and it might sound cheesy, but it was, he has a real collaborative nature. And so ideas came from every single person that was in the room. So our stage management team, and if the producers were watching, everybody felt free to chime in and figure something out that needed to be figured out. And I thought that was really, I mean, I'm a hippie at heart, so I love that. Equal opportunity directing.
Yeah.
But he's also so smart about comedy that he really, you trust him. If he says, many times in the rehearsal process, he'd say, just trust me, I know this is funny, just trust me, and we would do it, and he was right. Mm-hmm. That happened all the time.
So have you or has anyone else just ever completely lost it on stage laughing-wise?
Oh, my God. I hate to tell you this, but that happens at least once a week. And it's so genuine. And there's a few of us who are weaker than others. Some might say less professional. But a few people Brooke Adams has made a steal. She just doesn't lose it. But there are other people, like myself, who are just a little bit more vulnerable in that area. I mean, I just have the hardest time, especially, people are really funny. I mean, really funny. And sometimes they just look at you cross-eyed, and that's it. I mean, I'm just a human. I can't be any stronger than I am. It's just tough.
So what do you have to do?
The audience loves it, you know, when that happened. Did we break the day that you were there?
No, actually, you didn't.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I was kind of almost waiting for it because, I mean, the audience was just completely busting up laughing. And I just don't know how you guys just sometimes can stay safe face. You know what I mean?
I know. It works half the time. Especially when the audience gets really tickled and they don't stop laughing. It's just human nature, I think, to want to laugh also, probably. It is so hard to keep a straight face. I mean, the inside of my mouth is bitten to pieces. Just from chomping down on my cheek and trying to, because I'm a laugher anyway, so it's just not a skill I have in life.
Were there any parts in the show, especially the first couple days that you guys did it, where you didn't expect to get as much of a laugh as you did?
Yeah, I mean, especially after being in the rehearsal room and doing the same jokes for the same people, we really needed an audience. And there are parts of it, I thought the play was pretty funny when I read it, but I didn't know it was this funny. Mm-hmm. And some of the giddy frenzy that the audience is in by, I call it Oprah-like, you know, when Oprah, like her people are screaming and losing their shit in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
When they get to that point, I had no idea it was going to be that kind of escalated delirium, but it is so thrilling to be on stage when that happens. It is such a present in life. I can't even stand it.
And that scream you have, too. I mean, does that kill your voice?
It hasn't for some reason. Jennifer Laura Thompson is a singer, so I asked her what I should do to, because I was concerned about that, and she said, just think about putting it up in your nose, making it a little more nasal. Don't do that. Just think about it going there. And I guess I have been doing that, and I really am waiting to lose my voice any moment now, but so far, nothing.
Yeah.
It's great.
You're from New Orleans?
Yeah. I grew up in, we lived in Slidell, and I went to a school in Anoka. It's a creative arts high school, which has music and, a jazz program and art, and it was same, but it was in New Orleans. So they had all the many disciplines, and it's funny because I actually was an artist, I painted and drew and made things my entire childhood, and so I heard about the school, I wanted to go in art, but you had to show a portfolio, and I didn't have one, and I also didn't, I didn't sing, I didn't write, I didn't dance and play an instrument, so it just sort of left acting. And it was sort of random. I just sort of said, what's a monologue? And I picked one and did it and got in. I've literally done nothing else.
Oh, wow.
My whole life. Yeah, kind of random.
And then you ended up in San Diego.
For grad school.
Okay. So grad school for theater, right?
grad school for acting, theater, and then I went to college in Evansville, Indiana for painting. I got a minor in oil painting, and my major was theater.
Wow. So I've been doing
theater, like theater classes, since I was 15 years old. I have no excuse.
So how did you go from San Diego to ending up in New York City working with Nathan Lane on The Man Who Came to Dinner?
That's kind of a random story, too, because I was in L.A. I'd moved to L.A. after grad school. I you have that showcase thing, and I opted to move to L.A. And I got a job as a reader for that play, you know, where a reader is?
Yeah,
so I was a reader, and at one point, Jerry Zaks turned to me and said, well, you know, because there's a part for a young girl, a young woman in it. At one point, he turned to me and said, why don't you audition? I said, sure. So this was the end of the first day, and the next day, I came in at the end of the second day, and they had everybody come in. I did my audition, and I got it.
Wow.
And that's how I got to New York.
Do you think it helped you because you saw everything that the other actresses did wrong?
I have to say, as much education as I've had in theater, and I have an embarrassing amount of it, it was probably the most helpful thing that's ever happened for me professionally and I continued to be a reader when I was in New York just to make a little extra money here and there. It is so fascinating how when people walk in the room, that's it. It's already sold.
Wow.
It's people would sabotage themselves upon entering the room, and they had no idea. You could tell, and you have people come in that aren't even right for a part, but because of who they are and how they saw themselves, and you know, also talent and their interpretation of this thing, will get a part. Where somebody might come in and was seemingly perfect and just wasn't there. It was so interesting. I've never forgotten that. Now, auditions, you know, they're such a weird. It's not really acting. It's something else. I don't know what it is, but it's not really necessarily acting.
Do you think you've mastered the audition yet?
Well, I think I used to not be scared of it. I used to actually enjoy them.
Yeah.
And then I went through a period of stage fright, and my auditioning got really affected. And so I'm sort of on the upswing from that. Actually, this audition for this show was a really positive step in that direction, getting through the stage fright stuff, you know.
How did you go about auditioning for the show? Your agent just called up and said, hey, show up here?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
He decided, and I was like, really, this is for the lead, you know, female lead anyway, it's obviously about the men. And then I just went in and did it, and it was a great audition. Yeah. Stanley was he was really easy. He's a very, very nice, easy person immediately when you first meet him. He was really funny, and he gave me a few adjustments, and we got along well, and that was it. So it was pleasant.
Yeah. So from the time you were in L.A. to the time you got the part, how long was that?
Oh, let's see. So I was in, I guess I graduated in probably April, and then I think it was a couple months later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
I know. It was. I got really lucky.
Yeah. So right now, which do you like better, Broadway, television, film?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a lot of experience with film. I mean, I'm really curious about it. I'd love to. Of course, who wouldn't want to do more?
Mm-hmm.
But I spent time in L.A. I don't know that it suits me as much as it suits other people. Now I'm married, so I've sort of had to pick a coast. My husband asked me very nicely to pick a coast. So, because I was doing back and forth for a while. So I'm interested in all of it. I mean, but I just sort of tend to work more in theater, so I feel like that's probably, you know, my home creatively.
So when you're not working,
it's hard. You know, each show of the week is really hard, and I would love to just go on a set and have hangout time and take my craft projects into a trailer. I mean, I do miss that kind of thing.
Well, what do you do when you're not when you're like on your days off? Just kind of hang out.
Well, what I'm doing today, actually, I'm sewing.
Yeah.
I have a blog and a website where I do sort of like Martha Stewarty, I guess, where I make stationery, I make clothes from vintage patterns, I try new recipes, I make up recipes, I bake. Anything creative I can think to do is sort of on that, and it's sort of my second job in a way. It's sort of what I want to do. I'm an old lady.
What's the website?
It's called it's www.littleredfox.typepad.com.
Cool.
And I sell like my art and stuff through it.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Thank you. It's a little girly, but you never know. Something might be up your alley on there.
Yeah, well, you know, my girlfriend's birthday's coming up. No problem.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. What's the best piece of advice someone gave you, and what is advice you can give to actors?
Well, Lance, I have a horrible memory. I do not remember a wonderful piece of advice, but I do have a, you know, my piece of advice would be, first of all, to be a reader.
Yeah.
Because I think that if you can get a job as a reader, you learn a whole lot. Not to mention you get to spend time, you know, casual time with people that hire you, mm-hmm. which is one reason why things worked for me. And the other thing is I guess that's it. That's good enough, right?
that's perfect. that one story you told me about just being a reader for a man who came to dinner. That's awesome.
I know. It's one of those crazy things that happened.
Yeah.
And I just kept working from then, you know, just little stuff, and gradually the parts got a little bit bigger, and here I am, and hopefully it'll keep going.
Thanks, Mary Catherine, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to DailyActor.com for more interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.